Right. Hey everybody, Economic Ninja here. I hope you're doing well, sitting up against the fireplace. Got 3 inches of snow last night. You know, we're gonna talk about the BRICS currency, the BRICS nations, and how they have completely overrun the petrodollar. It's happened very fast. Matter of fact, and I'll share it with you right now, the story that I wanna share with you is now the BRICS hold 47% of the global oil after Saudi Arabia's inclusion. As of right now, the U.S. owns 2.1%. To say that the petrodollar is completely finished is an understatement. And one thing that I must emphasize, as of right now, the U.S. still has the allies of Great Britain and Europe, the Eurozone. However, that economy is weak. It's sick. When it comes to oil, that is the number one driver of any economy, really, because there's really nothing you can do without oil. I don't care how green you want to get. Oil is what runs the world. Oil makes plastics. Oil does everything. And for decades and decades, the U.S. enjoyed the privilege, and it really was a privilege, and we abused it, of being able to print money just so that other countries had the ability to purchase it because of a set of rules known as Bretton Woods. We have completely lost that. As a matter of fact, many wars have been fought over countries deciding to go against oil, the oil trade for dollars. Saddam Hussein was one. Gaddafi out of Lebanon was another. There are many countries that have tried over the years, over the last past couple decades, to go against the dollar trade for oil because they didn't want to take the dollar. They knew that the U.S. was printing money recklessly, that they were becoming the wealthiest nation on earth because of this, and they wanted to go against it. So they either wanted euros in, you know, Saddam Hussein's situation for their oil, or they wanted gold, like Gaddafi did. And each time they found the U.S. military running over there to their country and knocking them back a century or two and killing their leaders. That's what happens. That is now over. I hope people understand that now the Federal Reserve doesn't get to run the world's interest rates. It's just a mere, it's a shadow of what it once was. It's nothing. So for everybody out there that says that, you know, that they believe the propaganda, and it is propaganda, where you're seeing stories about ghost cities, and that's pretty much all gone now, because, you know, the ghost cities in China where they're being mocked by us, like by 60 Minutes and our mainstream press. Yeah, China's got issues. Every country has debt issues. But you have to understand now, China and Russia did something very remarkable in such a very short period of time. And when I mean short period of time, this whole thing started about 2014, 2015. They now control the world's oil. And every month that goes by, there are more and more countries jumping on the bandwagon with the BRICS nations. The BRICS nations have been doing one thing that the U.S. hasn't been doing. Please understand this. This is why I own gold. Nations around the world are buying gold. Their central banks, they're wealthy, they're billionaires, they're sent to millionaires. They're out buying gold. They understand how important gold is. They also understand how important oil is. And so they are coming together and they are purchasing both oil and gold, and they are becoming so strong, it's insane. To say that we have weak leadership in our country is an understatement. And that is why this has been allowed to happen, okay? Let's jump in here real quick. This is out of Watcher Guru. It's entitled BRICS Hold 47% of Global Oil After Saudi Arabia's Inclusion. The U.S. owns 2.1%. The BRICS alliance now controls 47% of the world's oil while the U.S. holds only 2.1%. If they demand developing countries to pay in local currencies, which is, they're not demanding right now, they're just doing it. Countries are paying for oil from other countries. They're buying it in local currencies, completely circumventing the U.S. dollar, okay? This means tragedy coming up for our bond market. Please understand this. This is the most important video you can probably hear all week, and I'm not tooting my own horn. It's because of this very basic fundamental of economics. Let me explain. There are multiple reasons why interest rates have been low since the year 2000. When we moved in after 9/11 to go in and take out Iraq, what happened was we were defending the oil trade for dollars. We were defending the fact that countries were forced to go and buy US treasuries or dollars to go and buy oil. This produced a lot of buyers. Obviously, there's countries all around the world that need oil. So they're out there buying US dollars. We would print them and hand them to them. It would keep our interest rates low. At the same time, it would allow insane low rates and easy credit into our country. As those buyers disappear, and just recently, in the past 6 months, we've seen multiple auctions where the tail, meaning in the beginning of the morning, when the government needs to issue debt, because our whole government runs on debt, right? It does not bring in enough in taxes to go and do business as usual. So they have to borrow more and more money. So the government goes out and let's say they're going to send out, they're going to give out 10-year bonds, and they say, we're going to give them at an interest rate of 4.5%. And the bell rings and the bidders just don't show up. And it's just silent. And a little bit of time passes and the government goes, well, what about 4.6%? Still nobody. What about 4.7? And this has happened in multiple bond auctions where the tail, which meaning the start of the morning, what they offered in interest and what they actually paid by the end of the day was called a tail. Nobody's showing up. As a matter of fact, countries like Japan have said, hey, we are looking to possibly have to sell some of our US treasuries, which would be catastrophic. Because if there are more sellers than buyers, rates go up, all right? If there are more buyers in bonds and treasuries than sellers, rates go down. Okay, ever since that announcement came out 2 Novembers ago, Japan, you start seeing China want to court Japan, and they had a Eurasian summit with South Korea, Japan, and China. The U.S. was not invited. China had a massive summit, and I mean massive because it was two of our massive partners, our allies, South Korea and Japan, to discuss things. And I can guarantee you what they're discussing is if you will join the BRICS, we will give you favorable rates when it comes to borrowing money. We have now put together 47% of the world's oil. It is about to crest 50. I can guarantee you in 2024, you will see the BRICS nations control over 50% of the world's oil. Look at these numbers right here. This is the countries that are under BRICS control. And I want you to remember about the Russian oil trade thing. But when I say Saudi Arabia runs 17%, Russia runs 12% of the world's oil. Do you remember when Russia moved into Ukraine? And this is very important for people to understand. And we did some interesting things that were crushing their ruble in value because of sanctions. Because as of right now, the U.S. can still do sanctions through SWIFT. However, a lot of people still don't understand that Russia and China developed something called SIPS, which is faster and cheaper, a way to move money, interbank money movements, than the antiquated from the, 50s or 60s SWIFT system, which is no more technology than text messaging on your phone, okay? So they are doing so much right now that is blowing our economies away. It's insane. And where one, you may think one country's weak, like China's got debt problems and Russia's got all these other issues because of what's going on with Ukraine, I want you to understand that even if they're weak separately, they're incredibly strong together. Now, how does this play into you? Well, you have to understand that the Federal Reserve has lost control of rates. Even in September, Jerome Powell announced that he said, you know, we don't even have to raise rates anymore because the bond market's doing it for us. And what he was telling you nicely, which most people completely failed to understand, was that investors were afraid of the future of the economy, so they were demanding higher rates to loan money into the bond market. So the bonds were going up and squeezing the economy and hurting companies and hurting the consumer, you and I, because we're having to pay higher rates, right? And higher everything, because interest rates control all of economics. The amount of the cost of borrowing controls everything. So how it affects us is that rates will go up. Now, as of right now, the Federal Reserve still has some magic to be able to cast over the people. Let me explain that. And really, I hope I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty and explaining this on a level that most people can understand, because this is very serious. The Federal Reserve came out and bluffed you. As a matter of fact, I did a video on the Real Estate Ninja channel a month before it happened, or maybe it was 3 weeks before it happened, but we've got this all cataloged, because there'll be a day where we do all these, hey, look, this is where I said it, this and this, and this happens next. Because we're walking a fine line of telling the truth and not being able to get the truth out to the masses. So they bluffed you. They came out and they said, we are going to pencil in, which, just so you know, means in their verbiage, and they will be right, they can erase that pencil mark. That's why they said we've penciled in. It's crazy how wordsmithing plays into these Fed meetings, and most people don't understand how this works. They penciled in 3 rate cuts. And so the markets, by large, because the Federal Reserve, I know, and I'm sure a lot of you know, type one if you understand this, they know that most trades on the stock market are now done by computers and by AI. And so when they hear that, they start trading. And that's the first swath of trades that roll in, and they start trading based off of what the Federal Reserve just said. And that was, hey, there's going to be 3 rate cuts. And so the Federal Reserve says that, the quants start trading based off of it, and the market starts to act accordingly, meaning that the rates start to drop down because people start to feel good. That's why it's so important to read these Fed minutes and see which verbiage they took out. Very similar example is just recently the Federal Reserve took out the term that the banks were strong or something like that. They removed that. And now you're seeing, guess what? The regional banks are falling. There's a bank, New York, I'm going to do it next, in New York, that's looking to have some, is having some problems. I'll be doing that on the Real Estate Ninja, if you don't mind following me over there, channel. But when you look at all of these, Saudi Arabia owns 17% of the world's oil, Russia 12%, Iran 9.5%, UAE 5.9%, China 1.5%. Brazil 1, India 0.3, comes to 47%. And you go, well, first off, some of those countries like Brazil and China only owning like 1.5%. That's not big. But China has so much more than the oil. And they're organizing this campaign. And every month, there is going to be a new country applying. I did a story about 8 months ago that Mexico applied. Mexico is a big partner of ours. Mexico produces a lot of oil. Please, please understand how big of a deal this is. There's going to be a rate fake out this year for the election. This year around the country, I believe 43 countries are holding elections. It's like the greatest number of elections in 1 year around the world, I think in like the last 50 or 100 years, some massive cycle. That means there's going to be a lot of turbulence in the media. There's going to be a lot of geopolitical threats and events that happen, okay? That will all lead to higher rates, which will, in turn, eventually lead to an economic collapse or a catastrophe. So the question is, what are you doing to get ready? I'm not giving you financial advice. I'm telling you I own gold because wealthy people own gold. Countries own gold. And when times get tough, they all race to gold. So it's not time to buy it when everybody's racing to it, like in 2020, paying insane premiums. My goal as an economic ninja, like so many of you, and that's a term that I made, it's not a name of someone. Being an economic ninja is somebody that sees things ahead of time and positions themselves before the masses jump into it. And then you simply sell them that when they jump in, similar to cryptocurrencies or real estate. I've been preaching about a real estate crash coming, and it's already begun. Many cities around the country are experiencing double-digit drops in their pricing and a complete stoppage of sales. Okay, that's the golden handcuff phase before the crash, very similar to what we saw in 2005. But this time it's going to be much bigger. Now, as I showed you this story that the whole video is about the bricks getting this powerful, what are you doing to position yourself? Are you busy buying things that you can't afford? Trying to impress some idiot that you don't even respect? Because that's really what life's about. That's really what most money spending comes down to at a certain phase in all of our lives, is trying to impress others, whether it be the opposite sex or somebody like your dad. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It takes a lot of maturing to get through those things. I have gone through those phases. This, though, is very serious, what's happening, what's coming onto our nation. And I want you to understand that Europe's not going to be able to bail us out. They're too weak. We are too weak. So the only way we can get strong is if the middle class becomes rich again. If the middle class will become rich again. I want to make the middle class rich again. How do we do that? We get them out of debt. We get them understanding what's going on, where we are. This isn't doom and gloom. These are facts. It's time to just stand up like leaders and do something about it. And then take back the wealth of the nation that was robbed from us by the banking system. That's what we do. I thank everybody sincerely from the bottom of my heart that shares these videos. The greatest thing, way to share these, is to take the link and share it on your Facebook page, on X, on all these platforms, just plaster it over the internet, really piss off the algorithms. I thank you so much for the last 3.5 years. I think we're about to hit 4 years on this channel. The growth has been amazing. It's been one of the best growing channels, not because of me, but because of you, because of all of the now millions of people that understand where we are and aren't sitting around and believing that some president or some central bank leader is going to carry us to victory. It's going to be you, and it's going to be me. Thank you to everybody that made that choice. Have a great day. I'm going over to do a video now on the Real Estate Ninja channel. If you wouldn't mind cruising over there and hitting the subscribe button and watching, that'd be great. The Economic Ninja is out.